a private school in Florida, they did these trips that they called mission trips, and we all paid our way to get down there, but there were materials waiting for us, and we would build houses or hand out food or clothing. There were certain groups that went around and taught people about the Bible, but you really get to see something incredible, and we went to Honduras. And this is, the capital city is called Tegucigalpa, and Tegucigalpa is the city, and Honduras is the country, that has the highest murder rate per capita in the entire world. So we got to go. But I want to show you, this is not what we would perhaps call the slums. This is prime Tegucigalpa real estate. And so you can see how Tegucigalpa lies in a basin. And the flight in was quite interesting because you have to make a steep bank in. And of course, in a plane, that's going to speed you up. So you're trying to brake. And that was about the hardest I've ever hit a runway ever. So that was already fun, and then we get here, and this is what the city's looking like as we drive through on a school bus that the people that were helping us go through Honduras had already paid the mobs not to disturb us, right? They had already marked our bus as safe target because the right people got paid. And then this is sort of on the outskirts of Tegucigalpa, is kind of getting out of the industrial part of the city and sort of getting into what you can best call suburbs. I didn't get to be on this particular build with Jill, but this is what one person was living in. This is next door to the house they were building. I call it a house. You're going to see later what we call a house in Honduras. But this is, and the house that they were tearing down, I call it a house. It was worse than this. You might already call this a shack or a lean-to. And it was worse than this. And it was to the point where, you'll see in a minute how close they were. It was an extremely steep bank to get down to the landing where this house was from the road. And they basically, in order to clear out this shack, they braced up against the mountain, and everybody pushed with their feet and just pushed the house off the side of the mountain. It was the only way to clear it. And it went tumbling down into the ravine here. And actually, you can see a little bit. Right here is right about the edge of the cliff. And so you're only talking about a couple of feet here. You'll see it better in a minute. But this is what is pretty common for a citizen of Honduras, especially Tegucigalpa, the capital. This is pretty normal. So here, this is our friend Caleb. He was a senior at the time in high school. So he is actually braced up against the mountain here in order to hammer up the siding on this house. And so they were braced up against this to push it off. And they got lucky. It rained that day, which made it really nice. I was not on this build. I was supposed to be on this build, but I had gotten sun poisoning the day before. So I was with the medical team handing out medications. But this is what was pretty typical. You can see how tight the space is here. So this is a picture. So this is the edge of the house. There's the edge of the cliff right here, and it just plunges down quite a few feet after that. So this, Jill was kind of showing me as I was putting this together. So I don't know if you can see, this is runoff. This is sewage runoff. And then right here is, and kind of all through this, it's really hard to tell in the picture, there's barbed wire. So barbed wire and sewage runoff on one side of the build. Then there's the drop off on another. And then this was the other side of the build. So they're right up against these trees here. And so this side is the only open side. And again, there's the edge. You can see the houses down there at the bottom. It's hard to tell. There's actually one of the houses that we built is actually right there. You can see it. That was one that had been built a few years before we were on this trip. But you see that there's not very much to this house. It's just wood. There's not insulation. There's not plumbing. There's not electricity. There's not heating. So what you get is what you get. But it's certainly better than what they're living in. And you can already tell this is what they're living in. That's the new wood that they're going to build the house with. So you can already see just by the color how long this has been here and how much work this needs to be doing. This was the first build that we were on. And right over here behind this person was the lady who we were building the house for. They tore out a bit of a cornfield. And we were putting this house here, and she was living in basically a stack of cinder blocks with corrugated tin on top, and she had a mattress in there, but it was only a few feet tall. You had to duck to get into her house, and she was not exactly a dwarf. I mean, she was a normal-sized lady, but it was probably only about 4 feet tall. And so I don't know if you can tell here, we were building 13 by 13, 13 by 16, and 16 by 16 houses. We were there for 10 days, and we ended up building 21 houses in 10 days. And this is the finished product. This is what they look like. You got a window here, and a door, and the roof is sloped, so you get water runoff. And some people were lucky enough to have a door on the other side. But this is pretty much what you're looking at. This is what we were building for people. And the tears of joy at you building this for them is one of those things that really puts everything into perspective. To give you another perspective, is anybody just in your mind, take a guess, the profession of the richest common citizens of Tegucigalpa. So not government, but what is the next job that has the richest people in the entire country? These people would sift through the city dump, and they would pick out things that they could clean and resell. Those people made the most money besides government officials. Because they were willing to go in and do the dirty job. We could smell it miles before we were on the dump. And that we did Vaseline over our lip, and that didn't really help. It was quite awful. But those people are the ones that were making the most money. And this is a way of life for these people. They don't know anything else. They don't know what it's like to be any else. They don't have, again, they don't have phones. They don't have electricity. They don't have plumbing. They don't have heating and cooling. What you get is what you get. And they're so grateful to have what they have. And it's crazy. It's crazy to us living in the way that we're living. I've updated the statistic now. The people that live at the poverty line here in America are still the top 12% richest people in the entire world. That's the 88th percentile of wealth, living at what we consider poverty. And this is when, and it was funny because Jill and I, about a month prior to this, went with Florida College to Austria, and it was a huge difference of what we were experiencing in Austria versus what we were experiencing here in Honduras. And you really try to put things in perspective on your way home. While you're in the middle of it, you've got a job to do, and waking up and going on a house build, 5 days of the week can be really hard. But once you have time to settle down, which is pretty much on your way home, Because then we were all staying in a, how to best describe it, it's sort of like a camp. It was a walled place, sort of like a walled off campground. And I would speak to everybody every night. I was the keynote speaker for the trip. And so we were always talking about Bible stuff afterward. It was quite uplifting to be on this journey with people. But the only time you really get a chance to stop and think was on the plane ride back. And that's another story that I can get into later, because Jill and I didn't get to go back home together. That was a whole interesting trying to get back into the United States story that I can share at a later time. But when you're on the plane, you sort of stop and think as you're taking off and you're seeing Tegucigalpa disappear below you. And you start to think. And the things that flood your mind, I didn't sleep for a while. I got to go around with a man. Remember I said I got sun poisoning on one of the house builds. And so they had to pick me up and take me to the doctors that were working the medical team. And so on the way over there, the guy that he used to be an American, he lives in Honduras. He had been living there for about 20 years when we took this journey. This was 2017. And he was sort of telling me about how the city works, run by gangs, and nobody really has any. There's a vote, but it's sort of a joke. And talking about how the money works with the rest of the global economy. And he's just sort of laying it all out for me. And it's really hard to sleep in an apartment that's furnished, that has heating and cooling and electricity and plumbing. And I've got a really nice bed. If you swallowed the water while you were there in Honduras, most people threw up. If you accidentally swallowed a little bit of water while you were brushing your teeth, we had to have purified water just to brush our teeth. Those are all the things that are running through your mind constantly for days, weeks, months. It took a while before I finally got a full night's sleep. Just looking at what they have to deal with. And to them, this is completely normal. I mean, this, besides living in the governor's mansion, this is incredible to them. And they were so grateful. These women, tears are rolling down their face because they're so grateful that you gave her a 13 by 13 room. And we don't understand how to have gratitude. Not really. We have in our minds the idea of being grateful. And the thing that we do well, I think, is that we think about being grateful on a spiritual plane. And that's the most important. Right? And we're going to look at that here in just a minute. Being grateful for what Jesus has done for us and what the Father has done for us, what the Holy Spirit has done for us, on a spiritual plane. But even just what you have right now, the fact that you have nice clothes on you, that when we're done tonight, you're going to go get in a car and go home. Go home. Would you call most of what we saw there a home? Maybe the nice things that we built, you might call a home. But that first shack that you really saw, would you call it a home? And we just don't stop to think. And it makes me feel bad then when I go to a restaurant and my food doesn't come out exactly the way I ordered it. And then I get annoyed, and then I get annoyed with myself for being annoyed because how grateful I should be that I can go to a restaurant and buy food that someone else prepared for me. Or that my heater went out and it's in the middle of winter and I'm having to drive around in a 32 degree car. But I have a car. And I have the money to get it fixed whenever I can get around to getting it fixed. These are the things that we don't stop and have gratitude for. Let's look at what the Bible has to say here. If you'll first turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 15. There's going to be a pattern here that you're going to notice. Hopefully you'll notice. And let's see if, when we talk about this pattern at the end of looking through these verses, if you've picked up on it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Do you see that? Always giving thanks for all things. Did you catch that? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Chapter 2. Verse 6, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Chapter 3, verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." Excuse me, I lost my place here. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." 1 Timothy chapter 4. Are you picking up on it? You picking up what we're looking at here? 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. "The Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by the means of the word of God and prayer." And lastly, Hebrews chapter 12. Beginning in verse 25. "See to it that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape who turn away from Him who warns from heaven? And His voice shook the earth then, but now He has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven.' This expression, 'yet once more,' denotes the removing of things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Do you catch the pattern? Where should our gratitude be focused? Our gratitude must be focused first and foremost on the spiritual things. And in whatever way we lack therein among us here at Roan Ridge, we need to do better. We need to understand what all God has done for us. And I think it's very easy for us to say, oh, I definitely am grateful to God. But then the way you live your life is not showing gratitude. The way that you choose to live out your daily actions does not show that you are grateful that God has saved you from a life of sin. You want to know what that life of sin looks like? You've got however many billions of people out there that you can look at. That's what you get to see. God could have left you there. But he didn't. This is less of a concern. I know I laid it on thick earlier. Because we do need to feel grateful for what we have. Because it is yet more on top of what God has done for us spiritually. God helping us spiritually, sending his son dying on the cross, that was the minimum for God. The bare minimum for God was sending Jesus, letting him die on the cross, and raising him from the dead. That was the bare minimum. That was already blessing enough. And this is just more blessing on top of more blessing. That's what you start to realize about gratitude. It's not just being grateful for what you have, but evaluating how much further beyond God has gone. The bare minimum, that's the bar that's set. And God says, you know, I'm going to give you more than the bar I set. I'm going to go beyond that. And I'm going to give you so much more. It's not enough for me to just give you my son. It's not enough for me to give you a path away from being chained to your life of sin. That's not enough. I want to bless you in the way that you can live your life. I don't want to just bless you spiritually. I want to bless you physically. And look at history, how God has orchestrated things to get to this point where we are right now. Think about everything that it took for us to be here in this building at 5:35 the week before Christmas in the year 2022. Think about it. When we look at what the Bible is telling us, we first must be grateful for what God has done for us spiritually. And this is why we don't have as much gratitude for the physical things that God has blessed us with, because we're not showing God enough gratitude for the spiritual things God has done for us either. Intellectually, we understand. Intellectually, we know how hard it was for Jesus to come here, what he gave up, live the life that he lived here, to die the death that he died, to be raised up, to leave everything in the hands of the Holy Spirit and his apostles. That had to be very difficult. But it was worth it to him to give us what he could so that we can be here today. intellectually we understand what God did. But I think sometimes we haven't let it set in. Sometimes the brain and the heart have not connected. We have a bit of a short somewhere. And we've said before, I've said it up here, I know Wayne has said it many times, any other churches that you've been to, any preacher worth his salt has probably said this at some point. We can't just sit on our logical and intellectual understanding. That has to be the foundation that we build upon as Christians. Emotions can't be the foundation. Our emotions are always shifting. It's not a good way to build a house. It's got to start here so that you can lay the foundation and then build from there with the heart. And in my observation, as I've grown up in churches of Christ, as I've worked with churches of Christ, to link these two is extremely difficult. We're not that great at it. And we need to be better. Because if we can do that, if we can understand what all God has done for us, and then pour out what that means to us, articulate what that means to us in our words, in our actions, in our feelings. Because feelings are important. They're an important part of your Christian life. If you can't articulate what's going on up here in the way you live your life, you don't truly understand it. And I'm preaching as much to myself as anybody else up here. As much as anybody else that I've ever stood in front of, I am preaching just as much to myself. Bridging that gap is how we show gratitude. It's not enough to intellectually understand what this has to say. Have you ever thought of living this as a means to show gratitude? Have you ever thought about it that way? If you've never thought about it that way, here's the thing to think about when you're going to bed. To live according to this is to show gratitude. This isn't a checklist of how I need to live my life. Am I reading my Bible? Check. Am I praying? Check. Am I going to church? Check. No, it's not a checklist. It's showing gratitude to our great God who gave us everything. And that's how it has to be to you. That's how it must be. Because if you don't bridge your head and your heart, you are not going to live the way God wants you to live. And you're not going to show Him gratitude for all the things that He has done. God came and did amazing things for you. Some people understand that and have responded to it. Others have not figured it out yet. If you're in that second category, tonight, now's your chance to figure it out. He did something amazing for you, and it's time to show your gratitude. And I brought this up before. I've had people say, I didn't ask Jesus to do that for me. No, you didn't. And you didn't have to. But you should have. You should have asked Jesus to do that for you because you should know what's coming. You should know what's coming that Jesus has given you an escape from. And you need to show your gratitude. How horrible it would be for someone to grab you out from in front of a speeding truck and then you say, no, thank you, I didn't ask you to do that. How horrible we would think of a person like that. And yet if you haven't given yourself to God, that's what you're doing. You're not showing your gratitude. for God saving you from a fate far worse than death, infinitely worse than death, because that's coming for you after death. For those of us who have already decided to be children, have already gotten that far to showing our gratitude, maybe we're not showing enough gratitude. Maybe we need to be going out and showing God how much more grateful we are, not just for what he's done for us spiritually, but for what he's done for us physically. And I'm not suggesting that we all need to march down to Honduras and start building houses. But we do need to start showing God more gratitude. And again, just like we talked about this morning, having the Christmas spirit all year long, we need to do this one as well all year long. That every day I wake up with thankfulness, with gratitude for what God has done for me. And if you need help doing that, then we'll help you. I stand up here and I wait for anybody who wants that opportunity. Please take advantage of it. I can't stand there all day. But as long as I am standing there, and as long as this church is here, there are people who will help you. Take advantage of this opportunity and show God how grateful you are as we stand and as we sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your